In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we celebrate today the resurrection, as it's Sunday. We also celebrate the ascension of our Lord into heaven, as it's during the post-feast. And we celebrate the Sunday of the Fathers of the First Ecumenical Council. We see the wonderful icon of the Fathers of the First Council here on the iconostasis, and it's also here for veneration. Yet today, what we'll speak about is actually a continuation of last Sunday's sermon. Last Sunday, we spoke of the importance of happiness and joy in our Christian lives. And this happiness and joy in not just the temporal sense, but in an eternal sense. Because Christ has brought joy into the world through his resurrection, and it gives us this promise of eternal life in his kingdom. And this is a joy that no one can take from us. Remember, the disciples were told by the Lord that they would see him again, and that joy that he would give them, no one would take that from them. Because it's the joy of God's final victory. Victory over sin, death, and the devil. A conquering of this world and all of the evil that's part of it. This happiness and joy is really what the gospel is all about, right? The gospel literally means good news. Good news. And Christians were to be carriers of this good news, bringing this good news to our family, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to the people we come in contact with, and to the people to whom Christ has sent us, because we've received a commission to go and to tell all people, all nations, this good news, this gospel. When we look at the life of Christ, we see great beauty, tremendous beauty. And today, as we continue to celebrate the ascension of our Lord, we see perhaps the most shining highlight of the Lord's life in his earthly ministry. Because he ascends from earth to heaven, from this age to the next age, from the world where there's good and evil to the kingdom where there's only good. And we rejoice with the disciples in seeing this. When we look at the life of the Lord, we see many wonderful things, from the incarnation to the ascension. We'll look at 8 feasts and the 4 connections between them. It's interesting in the scriptures, in salvation history, when the Lord wants to draw our attention to something, he uses numbers. One of the numbers he uses is the number 40. Right? The Lord ascended to heaven 40 days after he rose from the dead. And it teaches us something. Teaches us that we're not meant to just rise to live on this earth, but we're meant to rise from the dead to live in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. The resurrection and the ascension are connected. What other events in the life of the Lord are connected by 40 days? Let's start at the beginning. The Lord's birth. What followed 40 days after that? His presentation into the temple. And you could follow right along with the wonderful icons that we have in the church. The Lord was born, and then he was presented into the temple, which teaches us that we're born on this earth to be dedicated to God. That's why we're here. To be dedicated to God. That's the purpose of our existence in this life. The next great connection of 40 days is when the Lord was baptized in the Jordan River. 40 days after that, after prayer and fasting, he overcomes the devil's temptations, making it possible for us through baptism to overcome the devil. Right? Later in the Lord's life, he shines with glory on Mount Tabor, revealing the virtue and the light and the power of his divinity. And 40 days after that, he's on another mountain, not Tabor, but Golgotha. And he shines out light that eclipses the sun. There is darkness over all the land, but he shines with the brightness of the Father's glory, showing us that we're meant to grow in virtue, and we're meant to grow in that to the point where we shine forth with God's self-sacrificial love, that this is the light of the world. And of course, we just mentioned that the Lord rose from the dead and ascended 40 days afterwards into heaven. And these 40-day connections are like steps for us, steps where we can go from being born to dedicated, for being baptized to overcoming temptation, for being virtuous people to being self-sacrificial people, to being people who participate in the resurrection and the ascension, right? They lead us up. They lead us up. The life in Christ is one of example. We see him going that way first. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You could rephrase that, that he is the way that truly leads to life. And in Christ, we see the firstborn of creation, the firstborn of the dead, that he might be first in all things, right? That we're his followers, his disciples. We go after him. He leads us as a shepherd leads his sheep. And we, in our own lives, progress and mature in our life in Christ. I want to share two ways in which we can better incorporate ourselves into the life in Christ. Two ways. And this will also be two ways that we can see the big picture. Sometimes when we talk about the big picture, we think about, well, we've got to prepare for our future. And generally, what our future means in this world is our retirement. Right? We've got to think about the big picture. Lay up some kind of a nest egg for ourselves. Make sure that we have a place to stay. Make sure that we have some good health insurance. And these things are all good. They're all good. We're not speaking against them. Yet, at the same time, they are limited, as we said last week. Because retirement does come to an end. There might be a day that we look forward to start the retirement, but we know that there's also a day when we die. That retirement is temporary. But the bigger picture is what happens after death. What happens after retirement. And if we're truly big picture people, people who can step back and see the whole perspective, that will prepare not just for our retirement, but will prepare for eternal life. And what does the Lord say in the gospel that eternal life is? To know the Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That will work on our relationship with God, because this is where eternal life is at. Now those two ways, these two ways in which we can work on our relationship with God and that we can have this bigger perspective. First, to see where we're at liturgically in the church's cycle. This is a wonderful gift that we have in the Orthodox Church, that every year we recount the steps of our Lord, right? We just went through the steps, and every year we cycle through it. And in a sense, it becomes a circular stairway that leads us to heaven. We remember everything that the Lord did annually. We cycle through it, and it's a cycle of ascent. And we see the Lord ascending, and we ascend with him, that we're lifted up by the liturgical life of the church. That's why these feasts are so important for us. So that we remember what the Lord did, how he went, not just so we can have some kind of a recollection, but so we could follow him. Right? So we could go that same way. Because he goes to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we too might be. And the way to the Father is through him. So we liturgically incorporate ourselves into the life of Christ, into the life of the church. Which St. Paul, when he talks about this incorporation, he talks about it in such a wonderful and a powerful way. He says that we become his body, and he is our head. That's how closely we're connected to Christ and his life. That he is our head and we're his body. That what he does, we participate in. This is the liturgical life of the church. The other way that we can grow in our life in Christ, and the other way that we can have this big perspective, is to see where we're at in salvation history. Not the liturgical cycle that we have annually, but the linear perspective of history. Where are we from the beginning of the world to the end of the world? It's obvious where we're at now. That the Lord has come, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He defeated sin, death, and the devil on the cross. He descended into Hades. And then he came back to life. He ascended then into heaven. He sent down the promise of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples, forming the church, making his abode with them in a different way. He said, I am with you even unto the end of the age. Even though that way is different. That way, in fact, is even more powerful, some of the fathers say. The connection that we have with Christ is even greater than the Lord had with his disciples during those 3 years before Pentecost. It's a great, powerful connection because he takes his abode within us. And the Lord even told his disciples, it's expedient for you. It's expedient for you that I go away because I will send to you the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the promise of the Father. And by that reception of the Holy Spirit, God makes his abode within us. This is where we're at. This is where we're at in the history of salvation. And yet, it's not yet the next age. It's not yet the next age. Sometimes people, when they look at the life of Christ, they say, oh, beautiful, tremendous, and yet unfulfilled. Because if he truly had overcome death, why would people still die? Why would the world carry on as it carries on? Didn't the angels say to the disciples, as you see him ascend to heaven, so he'll come back? Well, the disciples were waiting and he didn't come back. Generations after were waiting, he didn't come back. What's going on? Why didn't he come back? It says that he's preparing a place for us. Does it take that long to prepare a place? In my Father's house there are many mansions. Is he building the mansion for us? Are things not ready yet? Right? Well, things aren't ready yet. But not on God's part. On our part. Right? The mansion is ready. The residents are not ready yet. That's the whole point of establishing the church, to make us ready. Apostle Peter talks about this. He says that, don't you know that the reason why the Lord hasn't come back yet is for our benefit? That he's showing long-suffering and patience with us so that we could be changed, so that we could be ready for that kingdom where there's only goodness, so that we could be people who have set our hearts only on that which is of God. Right, so that we could be ready to enter into that kingdom. The postponement of the second coming is for our benefit. Brothers and sisters, we find ourselves in a wonderful time period, really a wonderful time period, because we've seen what is prepared in the person of Jesus Christ. We've seen our destiny and the ascension into heaven, into that next age. We've been given the church as the mode of preparation for us to get ready for that next age. We've been given the wonderful gift of seeing the big picture from a linear perspective, the beginning and the end of the world. The Divine Liturgy, we say this so beautifully. We say, remembering all those things which have come to pass for us, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection on the third day, the ascension into heaven, the sitting at the right hand, and the second and glorious coming. We remember all of these things and we lift up the bread and the wine which will be transformed and transfigured into the body and blood of Christ. And it's a visual sign of the lifting up of the church, which becomes the body of Christ through union with him, this transfiguration. We are 1 week away from the great feast of Pentecost, a wonderful commemoration in our liturgical cycle. In the Acts of the Apostles, hear about St. Paul's travels, but how he's urgently hurrying to be in Jerusalem for the feast. Well, St. Paul was converted after the historical event of Pentecost, right? At the time of Pentecost, he was just getting ready to go out and persecute the church. His conversion happened later. He's rushing to be in Jerusalem not for the first descent of the Holy Spirit. He's rushing to be in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost and the renewal of that Spirit, the annual renewal of that Spirit. Brothers and sisters, as we celebrate the annual celebration of the Lord's ascension, let us look forward to the annual descent and renewal of the Holy Spirit. Let us have this linear perspective, the big picture. Let us have this circular participation by which we can ascend from earth to heaven. Because truly, this is where our destiny is. Truly, this is where our minds and our hearts and our wills and our souls and our bodies and everything about us should be focused, should be looking in anticipation with great joy, praising and blessing God. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.